declaring them righteous, and securing their eternal future. So when we think of salvation, we're talking about three different things, three meanings when we talk about the meaning of salvation. Okay, the first is the reality of rescue. When we are saved, we are literally rescued from God and from the consequences of sin, which includes the wrath of God. And so what God does is he delivers undeserving sinners from sin and its consequences. Remember, we don't deserve it. A lot of times we don't like to think like that. We like to think about how good we are. And we live in a society that feels we are entitled to everything. But you are not entitled to a relationship with God. You're not entitled to heaven. It's nothing that you deserve. And there's nothing you can do to get there on your own. But God delivers undeserving sinners from sin and its consequences. In Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Let's stop right there for a second. For by grace. What is grace? Well, some will say it's a gift, and that's true. But what is grace? It is undeserved, unearned favor. So when somebody is saved, they are saved by the undeserved and unearned favor of God. It is by grace. And then I want you to notice what it says right after that. For by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is more than just a mental agreement with something. Like, I can say that this pew will hold me up. And I can believe that this pew will hold me up. But am I actually trusting this pew to hold me up unless I go down and sit in? You see, that's how it is with faith. We can say we believe in Jesus all we want. In fact, spoiler alert, demons believe in Jesus. They believe the gospel. James even says, "Oh, that's great. You believe. Awesome. The demons believe." But you know the difference between demons and us? They're terrified of God. It says in James, they believe and they shudder. When's the last time that we were terrified or even mourning over our sin? When's the last time we were actually mourning over sinning against a holy God? And so faith is not just a mental understanding. It's a confidence in Christ and Him alone. That's what faith is. It is confidence in Christ. And so by grace, you have been saved through faith, through confidence in Christ. We receive that through faith. Notice what it says after that, continuing in Ephesians 2 and verse 8. "And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Sometimes when sharing the gospel with people, I'll ask, "Well, why should God let you into heaven?" Do you know what I hear most times? "Well, I'm a pretty good person. I haven't killed anybody. I'm no Hitler. I've been baptized. I go to church. I tithe." Do you hear what all that says? "I've done this. I've done this. I've done this. I've done this." That doesn't mean they're not saved. They just may not have been discipled to understand what the gospel is, like how to articulate it, okay? But do you realize where all the emphasis is? I. But what does this say? "Not a result of works, so that no one can boast." When we're saved, we can't go and say, "Hey, look at me. I'm so smart that I trusted Jesus Christ. I don't understand why people are so ignorant that they don't trust him, but I'm so smart, I've trusted him." We can't go and say, "Well, I've done this and I'm saved because I prayed a sinner's prayer or I walked down the aisle." No, you're not. You're saved because you trusted in Jesus Christ. That's why you're saved. That's how you're saved. By trusting in Jesus Christ. Our own doctrinal statement says it like this: "Salvation is the gracious work of God, whereby he delivers undeserving sinners from sin and its results." So understand that salvation is the initiative of God. God first loved us, And because God first loved us, we are able to love him. Because he placed his love on us, because he showered us with his grace, we are able to love him, to follow him, to trust him. All of this is done by the gracious work of God. And so as Christians, really anybody, but as Christians, we got to remember, we don't have to try to save ourselves. It's already been done. Christ has already done it. Jesus has done it through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection. You just receive it through faith. Salvation begins when God rescues those who cannot rescue themselves. And that's the greatest news, because we could not and we don't want to. Okay, like everybody wants to go to heaven, right? They understand that. Like everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. That's generally true of people who at least believe in an afterlife. The problem is, most of the time we think that we have to do it ourselves. But the passage is clear. It's not a result of works so that no one may boast. It's not because I'm good enough. It's not because I'm smart enough. It's certainly not because I was baptized. And it's not because, you give money to a church. That's not why you're saved. Like, it doesn't happen like that. It's through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's it. By grace, through faith, we're saved. We were rescued. We didn't deserve it. God gets all the glory. He gets all the honor. He gets all the praise. And so the first reality of this salvation, when we talk about salvation, is we're talking about being rescued from sin and its consequences. Talk about being rescued from God. But we also have the reality of, and this is a big word, justification. Justification. When you are saved, you are justified. Now, all that means is that you are declared innocent. You're declared righteous. Now, remember, we did this little thought experiment last week in which everybody in the room admitted that they were lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterers at heart. Oh, I left out one. Murderous, lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterers at heart. That's all of us, because we've all broken the law of God. And if God judges us based on the law, and he will, are we innocent or guilty? Guilty. Heaven or hell? Hell. But that's why Christ came. He became our sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. That's why Jesus showed up. That's why he came. And so in justification, what that means is God takes guilty people like us and declares us innocent, declares us righteous, not guilty. Now, how in the world can that happen? How can that happen and God still be just? Well, because Christ, who is God, became a man. He dwelt among us. He kept the law of God perfectly on our behalf. The Bible says, Paul writes in Corinthians, for he became sin who knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God. So any goodness that you have, any righteousness that you have in you, is not yours. It's Jesus' righteousness given to you. It's an alien righteousness. Theologians say it imputed righteousness. It is just placed on you, given to you. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. There's nothing, no amount of merit that you could build in your own account to stand before God holy and righteous. It is only the merit of Jesus Christ in him alone. By grace, through faith, are you saved? We are declared righteous, all who trust in Christ. Romans 3, 20 through 22 tells us, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. In other words, the law and the prophets, the entire Old Testament, it pointed to one place, Jesus Christ. Every bit of it. On the road to Emmaus, that's exactly what Jesus told his disciples. He went from the Old Testament and explained throughout the Old Testament how all of it was about him. And so What Jesus did is he fulfilled the Old Testament. He fulfilled the law. He took our sin. He paid for it, even though he had no sin, so that God could just, righteously declare us innocent, declare us not guilty. Notice what it says there. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. In other words, Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. If you trust in Jesus Christ, you are saved and you become part of the covenant people of God and heirs to all the promises of God. You don't deserve it. You're given it by Jesus Christ, by the grace of God. You are declared righteous. Our doctrinal statement says it this way. In justification, he declares righteous. God declares righteous all who put faith in Christ as Savior. Now, let's understand how freeing that really is, though. Because sometimes we as Christians can get so busy doing Christian things that we forget to actually follow Christ. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean is sometimes we feel like we have to do more to try to earn God's favor or make God love us more. That God's going to love me more if I am in the Word more. He's going to love me more if I pray more. He's going to love me more if I give more. He's going to love me more if I go to church more. And all those things are not bad things. But if we think we have to do more for God to love us more, then we misunderstand the love of God. He loves you no more and no less today than he loved you when you were first saved. And he loves you no more and no less today than he loved you the moment you were born. And he loves you no more and no less today than the moment that he chose you before the foundations of the world. He loves you. Nothing's going to change that. Romans 8 tells us that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. He came, he died, he lives for you so that you can glorify him and enjoy him forever. So we don't have to try to prove ourselves. It's not like earthly relationships where you feel like you just had to prove yourself, where you feel like you have to defend yourself, where you feel like if I just say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, these people aren't going to love me anymore. It's not like that. God just loves you, and he proved it in Jesus Christ. So take comfort. Don't worry about trying to prove yourself. God doesn't just merely forgive sinners. He doesn't just forgive you. He declares you righteous in his sight. And it's only by the righteousness of Christ that you're able to get into heaven anyway. And so throw yourself to the righteousness of Christ. Believe in him and trust him. And so in salvation, we have the reality of rescue. We are delivered from sin and its consequences. We have the reality of justification. We're declared righteous, not through works, but through faith and faith alone in Christ alone. But not only that, we have the reality of assurance, the reality of security. We are secure in Christ. Now, what do I mean by that? It's the doctrine that's been coined, once saved, always saved. Now, I'm going to be honest, I hate that title. You know why? Because there's a bunch of demonic people running around thinking they're following Christ because they said a prayer. That's why. They think they're saved. Because at one time they trusted Christ, but now they live like hell. They don't follow Christ. They reject Christ and everything he stands for. And yet, they claim to follow Christ. That's why I don't like the title, Once Saved, Always Saved. Because it gets people in their minds thinking, well, I can trust Christ and then do whatever the heck I want and be fine. I got my fire insurance. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it says. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 John writes, if any of you make a practice of sinning, the love of the Father is not in you. Examine your life. Examine your life. Do you have a pattern of sin in your life? Is there a pattern of sin in your life? Are you not turning from your sin? Saved people repent. Fake Christians live in sin. That's the difference. I know that's a hard word, but it's a true word. Life and death hang in the balance, and not just this life, eternal life. The Bible tells us in Romans 3, 24 through 26, says, "And you are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood." Propitiation basically just means payment for sin, a substitute in your place. To be received by what? By faith. Now this was to show God's righteousness because of His divine forbearance. He passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. When you read Romans 8 and verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Notice what it said. No condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If you have trusted Christ and you are living for Him and you have that faith in Christ, understand, Jesus died in your place. Him for you. And you can be confident that there is no condemnation for any of those that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:1, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I hate to break it to you, I can't make the choice for you to get saved. I wish I could. I can't sow a seed in some fake preacher's bank account and hope that that's going to work to get you saved. I can't throw my coins in anyone's coffers and think that your soul is going to spring from hell to heaven. It's not going to happen. I can't do it for you. I can't purchase it. But you can trust Christ. Notice what it says there. "Therefore, since we have been justified by works," is that what it says? Some of you looked up, thought I was crazy just then. Is that what it says? No, it says what? "You are justified by faith." "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ," which means we have no condemnation. God's not going to condemn us because Jesus was condemned for us. It means we have peace with God instead of being hostile to God. It means that we have full assurance of future glorification, which just means that we know we get to be in heaven and we will be like He is because we will see Him as He is. We will be transformed. We will have no more sin, no more sorrow, nothing evil about us anymore. We will be completely holy, righteous, and good before our Father, before our Savior in heaven. Not because of what we do, but because of what Christ has done for us. And so, yes, if you've trusted Christ, you can have assurance that you're saved. You can. You can know that you know that you know that you are saved. The only caution I would give you is, if you are comfortable in sin, if you are comfortable in claiming to follow Christ, and yet live in sin, then you're deceiving yourself. The Lord disciplines those whom He loves. He will not allow you, the Holy Spirit will not allow you to continue in your sin. He will bring such conviction on you. It may take a while. I know of someone that took them 50 years. 50 years till they repented. They were that prodigal son. But what happened? The moment they repented, what happened? Jesus was already there. He's already there. Some of you may have sin that nobody knows about right now. But God does. And you do. You can fool a lot of people, but you can't fool God. Don't
Don't let another day go by clinging to that sin. Lay it down at the feet of Jesus. He's paid for it. And you're forgiven. You're not enslaved to sin anymore. You don't have to do it. Turn from your sin. Trust in Jesus Christ.
And I tell you, it's a whole lot easier to trust in your own salvation when you're actively following Christ, isn't it? Like when you're actively following Christ, you have far less doubts. Now, we're all going to have doubts, but we have far less doubts when we are following Christ. But don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying doing all these things are going to save you. Faith in Jesus Christ alone saves you, but faith produces works and fruit inside of you. And so today, if you're holding on to sin, you need to throw it through the trash and cling to Christ. Trust Him and Him alone. And that's where your assurance, that's where your salvation is found. And so salvation, it consists of these three realities. God rescues you from sin and its consequences. You're declared righteous, not because of anything you do, but because of what Christ has done for you. It's all of His grace received through faith. And you can have security and assurance knowing that when Jesus died on the cross, He died for you. He didn't just make it possible for you to be saved. He said it is finished. He accomplished your salvation that day on the cross. And He knew all your sins, past, present, and future. And He, in His grace, will preserve your faith. And He, by His grace, will preserve your repentance all the days through your life. That way, when you come to the end of the life and you stand before your holy God, you're not going to stand there and say, well, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. You're going to stand there and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. And what's He going to say? He's not going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, we thank You for Your love. Your love that is so overwhelming that it crushes the hardest of hearts. That overcomes the most obstinate of wills. That saves sinners like us. Father, I ask that You would reveal in our life any unrepentant sin we may have, especially presumptuous sins that we know are wrong and we do it anyway, but also those hidden things that we might not even realize are sin, that You would just reveal those things to us, that we can turn from them and trust You more and more each day, that we can glorify You with our lives. Thank You that You have given salvation as a free gift because we never could earn it. And so, Father, we thank You for that grace that You've given us in Christ. Thank You for rescuing us from sin and its consequences. We praise You for justifying us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Your Son. And we just hope and have confidence and glorify Your name for the security and assurance that we have, that all who have trusted in Your Son, all who have received Christ, will be raised on that last day. And we will have our eternal home. An eternal reward. Not by anything we do, but through faith, by Your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.